Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Market View on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon, joined in the studio by finance presenter JP Ong from Primetime and on the phone by Jeff Howie from the SGX. It has been an interesting week on so many levels, but it ends, the week ends on fairly good news with Nodix.
Yes, absolutely. Non-oil domestic exports at least rising by 5.9%. It's still continued growth. However, it did miss estimates. Economists who do cover this and who were surveyed by the median estimate was for it to grow actually by more than 11%. But nevertheless, let's take a little bit of comfort in the fact that 5.9% growth, there is a sustained and gradual recovery, and the electronics export itself pulling its own weight, at least in helping this drive this up. Electronics exports here growing by 21.4%. I think one of the few things, though, that might be concerning also is that biomedical and pharmaceutical exports did decline during this particular period. But this has always been a bit of a volatile sector, to be fair. But the fact that electronics exports here have started to pick up means that the industrial space, and when you look at the advanced GDP numbers, they did note that manufacturing here did grow by 2% year on year during the third quarter of 2020. I mean, these electronics exports and Nodex figures, at least, supporting that for the most part. And it might be one of the reasons why Singapore itself is still in the green when you look at how markets are trading. The STI today is trading about 9.5 points higher. We're recovering from Thursday's losses and up to 2,533, about 478 million Singapore dollars in total value turnover so far today, 204 gainers against 151 losers. And when you compare that against the rest of the region, well, there continues to be some headwinds, at least weighing the rest of the Asia-Pacific space. The Nikkei 225 is down by 0.4% in today's session. The ASX 200 also trading 0.5% in the red. You've got the KOSPI in South Korea falling by 1.2%. The Taiwan Weighted Exchange also down by 0.4% in today's session. Shanghai trading about 2.5 points lower. That's 2.5 points, not 2.5%. But Shenzhen has fallen by 1.3% in today's session. The Hang Seng, though, looking fairly okay, up by about 178 points. And again, some of the same usual drivers really influencing sentiment across the region. The fact that there might not be any U.S. fiscal stimulus package agreed upon before November 3rd does mean that this might take a little bit of momentum, at least, out of a potential economic recovery. Neel Kashkari, who is the president of the Minneapolis Federal Reserve, said that the U.S. economic recovery will be grinding and slow if there is no stimulus forthcoming. But it seems that we'll have to wait until the November 3rd polls unless they're able to agree to something on the 11th. Hour. There's also the sight of rising COVID-19 infections in many places across the world. Potential lockdowns weighing on commodity prices. Oil has actually slipped because they believe that if there are renewed social restrictions and lockdowns, this could curtail economic recovery and also the demand for some of these commodities. And this, at least, something that the folks also across the world are trying to gauge moving forward.
Jeff, we bring you into the conversation. It has been an interesting week. We got some annual results. We've got some numbers for the country and the economy. What does that all look like in total for the markets?
Yeah, it's just interesting on those choice of words from that JP was saying, grinding recovery in the US. I think what we can offer from a Singapore perspective is that we are seeing, obviously, more evidence that we are on a path of a sequential and gradual recovery with those non-oil domestic exports. I think it was the fourth straight month that it was up, and that's up 6% year on year. But importantly, too, because everything is so important across the region when we are looking at the perspective of trade and so forth, that I think the Nodex actually rose for 6 of our 10 key trading partners, and a key highlight beyond the headline was that our outbound shipments to Malaysia rose 30% year on year, and that was the strongest growth pace since April of 2010. So the number, I guess, it was expected to be overall good, because you might remember in August, I think Enterprise Singapore then revised its outlook for Nodex for the full year from -1% to -4% up to 3 to 5% up to up from negative growth this year up to positive growth of 3 to 5%. And you know, it tells the story like many of these economic indicators do. The key thing is sectors in the economy have performed very differently, as have the sectors in the stock market. You know, if you take the perspective of the STI this week, for instance, I think we did begin the week around the 25.30s, and that's presently where we are right now. I think we went up to 25.70 on the Tuesday close, down to 25.20 on the Thursday close, but all in all, back to where we are. But that's not the story. That's not the status quo, per se. You know, you see the index is unchanged. However, some of the big cyclicals that are very important to our economy and very important to the stock market have seen some decent net institutional inflow this week, and that includes STI banks and STI manufacturers. I think for the first four sessions of this week, DBS saw net institutional inflow up towards $50 million, and that's up more than 1% this week. OCBC saw $24 million of net insti inflow. That's up more than 1%. Venture saw $12 million of net institutional inflow. That's up nearly 3%. And then ST Engineering up a little bit more, up 0.3% with $9 million of institutional inflow. So manufacturing and financial services, obviously a key part of the economy, a key part of the STI. You know, and also moderately firmer week for the REITs, with the iEdge S-REIT Leaders Index up 0.4%. And interesting that the US-focused REITs were among the leaders. I think RAUS Hospitality was up around 5%. Manulife US REIT, Prime US REIT, both up more than 1%. And Keppel DC REIT, pretty strong as well, up more than 3%. And scheduled to ascend into the STI effective Monday. You might see that there's a standardized process for this. You know, I should explain it. So it was selected on the Wednesday close as the STI stock, or the STI reserve list stock with the highest market capitalization. And that's because Capital Land Commercial Trust has its last trading day today, and Capital Land Commercial Trust is a part of the STI. So, you know, the process for selecting a stock from the STI reserve list, it's very standardized. We saw this exact same process back when Venture Corp replaced Global Logistics Properties. But this time it just shows you just how competitive it is to get into the STI. So the stock of the STI reserve list with the highest market cap is chosen. And Keppel DC REIT on the Wednesday close had a market cap of 4.8 billion Sing dollars, which compared to Frasers Logistics and Commercial Trusts with a market cap of 4.7 billion dollars. So very, very close. You know, we've talked about Keppel DC REIT for years, right, JP? Every week on this, and you know, it's first half 20 gross revenue. I think it was up 30% year on year, and no surprises. Global lockdowns have seen that accelerated adoption of digital technology. But I think really important for investors is to realise that almost half of the revenue of Keppel DC REIT comes from internet enterprises. So Keppel DC REIT will go in to the STI with a weight of around 1% to 1.5%. And as we said, there's quite a bit of exposure to these internet enterprises. It's also, been a really strong performer. You know, if you look at the REITs across the world, there's around 800. If you narrow the list to the REITs with a market cap greater than 100 million Singapore dollars, that's about 600 REITs. And Keppel DC REIT, of those 600, has been the 12th strongest performer so far this year with its 47% total returns.
Yeah, it does highlight also just the ascent of Keppel DC REIT. You know, this has been momentous actually for them also, just riding this wave of demand for data centers, for the services they provide as more companies, and the accelerated move towards demand, at least for digital space, for storage, and just really data center services for the most part. But we also have to take note, Jeff, right, that this is a bit of a momentous time. I mean, this is going to be the last day that Capital Land Commercial Trust is going to trade, and we're expecting a bit of an 800-pound gorilla to enter the STI. Before that, I mean, they were already big, heavy hitters on their own part. Capital Land Mall Trust and Capital Land Commercial combined, though, they are creating not just Singapore's biggest REIT, but if I'm not mistaken, Asia Pacific's second biggest real estate trust amongst themselves.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. So it basically means REITs will make up around 14 to 15% of the STI. when this is effectively completed. So on Monday you'll have Capital Mall Trust still trading, and you'll have Capital Mall Trust temporary line, which will be consisting of the units that the CCT holders use, are receiving in, priced in terms of CMT. It's exciting, and I think one key aspect of this is how the REIT sector has really been able to facilitate growth of real estate portfolios. I mean, it's growth of portfolios has been a very common theme, I guess, while the investors seek, I guess, those less volatile, high yield type of investments. The issuers themselves, the managers of the REITs, are listing on the REITs because it's a good way to grow their portfolios with, obviously, your initial listing, primary fundraising, but then, of course, all this very important secondary fundraising activities through rights issues and placements. Case in point is this particular REIT, Keppel DC REIT. It debuted on SGX almost 6 years ago, towards the end of 2014. And when it debuted, it was the first pure data center REIT to ever list across Asia. And it grew its portfolio from listing from 8 assets valued at $1 billion to 18 assets valued at $2.8 billion. And since then, it's generated a 330% total return thereabouts. So it's... growth has been a key aspect of this. In fact, the overall REIT sector, the compound annual growth rate of the overall market value of the REIT sector has been a key highlight over the last 10 years.
Go ahead, JP. Tell us what they're trading at today.
Well, okay. Let's take a look at this, actually. On their last day on the SGX, before they begin the process of merging with CapitaLand Mall Trust, CapitaLand Commercial is trading 1.2% in the green, rising to $1.66 a unit. CapitaLand Mall Trust about down by about 0.5% to $1.93 a piece. This is a process going to take place in the next couple of weeks. It's going to be very exciting. But at the risk of turning this into a REIT show, Jeff, there's also another big earnings release that's going to come out on Monday, because we are going to get some business updates and earnings releases. I think Mapletree Logistics Trust is set to release their earnings also. Talk about another REIT sector that's also gotten a lot of interest in recent times. In fact, some analysts have actually highlighted that the logistics REITs might be a good place to cycle out of some of these big outperformers in 2020 if you're looking for the next big play. But honestly, they've really been getting a lot of thumbs up really for the last couple of months.
Yeah, exactly. And it won't be just MLT as well. I think we'll have Keppel Infrastructure Trust as well, which is not a REIT. It's obviously a utilities play. That's on the Wednesday. And then Thursday, Mapletree Commercial Trust, CapitaLand Mall Trust as well, and IFAST, I guess, on Friday. So some interesting earning numbers to show, and it will be across the board. Basically, the assets or the businesses of these stocks and REITs that are listing are not just, obviously, the highly defensive industries that have performed comparatively better this year, but we'll also see some insight into how our gradual, sequential growth is affecting the outlooks for these companies. The key three sectors, I guess, that do continue to be impacted, and we saw with the big GDP advance number in midweek, they are still travel-related industries, they're still consumer-facing domestic industries, and it's still construction. I think you noted that the manufacturing growth in GDP was up 2% year-on-year. Construction sector was down around 45% year-on-year, but nonetheless, as we say, sequential growth is what we're looking at. So on a quarter-to-quarter seasonally adjusted basis, Singapore's construction sector in those first 2 months of the third quarter were up nearly 40% from the second quarter of 2020, following those sharp contractions per se. So, for the stocks' performances and the stocks' outlooks, it all really depends on how they are basically operating amongst all these different segments and sectors of the economy. I think, and we're still seeing, obviously, as we noted last week, we're still seeing that increased job creation in Singapore in information, communications, food services, professional services, healthcare, and finance and insurance.
We definitely have an interesting week ahead to look at information. I think JP is definitely going to be on it, and so is Jeff Howie when he joins us again next week. This has been Market View Wrap on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero, joined in the studio by finance presenter JP Ong and on the phone by Jeff Howie from the SGX. Gentlemen, have a great weekend.
Cheers.
Thanks. Thank you so much.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.